graças a Deus, todos os nossos amigos e maravilhas, e na área de batalha de missão, e eu como a Kimber. Eu que se dá para o programa de Gopal Batalha de Sergança, eu sou o lugar de Kimber. Eu vou chamar a vida da Sr. Kimber. Prende-se com o Shri Krishna Chaitanya, o Provinciano, o Shri Advaita Gadara, o Shri Vasari Gaur Batalha de Kimber. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur, Gopa Gopina, Shamakan Radha Kangiri Govardhan Kimber. Ganga Devi Kimber, Yuna Devi Kimber, Bhakti Devi Kimber. Tulsi Maharani ki, Hari Nam Sankirtan ki, Mayapunavaditan ki, Shishi Gornitai ki, Rajabhumi Shri Vrindavandam ki, Shishi Radha Gopinath ki, Itai Gaur Premanandam ki, O glory to the Assembled Devotees, O glory to the Assembled Devotees. O glory to the Assembled Devotees, O glory to Shishi Guru Granth, O glory to Shri Prabhupada. Morning, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 69. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Satvaika Nishta Manasi
Satvaika Nishta Manasi
Bhagavat Parashva sorry, Bhagavat Parashva Bhartini
Bhagavat Parashva Bhartini
Bhagavat Parashva Bhartini
Bhagavat Parashva Bhartini
Tamas Chandra Mas Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Uparajya Bhasvate
Uparajya Bhasvate
Uparajay sorry Uparajya Bhasvate
Uparajya Bhasvate
Satvaika Nishta Manasi
Satvaika Nishta Manasi
Bhagavat Parshva Bhartini
Bhagavat Parshva Bhartini
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Uparajya Vabhasate
Uparajya Vabhasate
Uparajya Vabhasate
Uparajya Vabhasate
Sattvika Nishte Manasi
Sattvika Nishte Manasi
Bhagavat Parshva Bhartini
Bhagavat Parshva Bhartini
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Uparajya Vabhasate
Uparajya Vabhasate
Sattvaika Nishte Manasi
Sattvaika Nishte Manasi
Bhagavat Parshavarthini
Bhagavat Parshavarthini
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Uparajya Vabhasate
Uparajya Vabhasate
Sattvaika Nishta Manasi
Sattvaika Nishta Manasi
Bhagavat Parshavartini
Bhagavat Parshavartini
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Uparajya Vabhasate
Uparajya Vabhasate
Sattvaika Nishte Manasi
Sattvaika Nishte Manasi
Bhagavat Parshavartini
Bhagavat Parshavartini
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Uparajya Vabhasate
Uparajya Vabhasate
What is this?
Sattvaika Nishte Manasi
Sattvaika Nishte Manasi
Bhagavat
Parshavartini
Tamas Chandramasi Vedam
Uparajya Vabhasate
Uparajya Vabhasate
సత్వైకానిష్టే మనసి
భగవత్పార్శ్వవర్తిని
తమశ్చంద్రామసి వేదం
ఉపరాజ్యావభాసతే.
Translation. Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a mental state that the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. Such observation is not always possible, but it becomes manifest exactly like the dark planet known as Rahu, which is observed in the presence of the full moon. Commentary by Srila Prabhupada. It has been explained in the previous verse that all desires on the mental platform become visible one after another. Sometimes, however, by the supreme will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the whole stockpile can be visible at one time. In the Brahma Samhita 5.54, it is said, Karmani nirahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. When a person is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, his stockpile of material desires is minimized. Indeed, the desires no longer fructify in the form of gross bodies. Instead, the stockpile of desires becomes visible on the mental platform by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this connection, the darkness occurring before the full moon, the lunar eclipse, can be explained as being another planet known as Rahu. According to Vedic astronomy, the Rahu planet, which is not visible, is accepted. Sometimes the Rahu planet is visible in the presence of full moonlight. It then appears that this Rahu planet exists somewhere near the orbit of the moon. The failure of modern moon excursionists may be due to the Rahu planet. In other words, those who are supposed to be going to the moon may actually be going to this invisible planet Rahu. Actually, they are not going to the moon but to the planet Rahu, and after reaching this planet, they come back. Apart from this discussion, the point is that a living entity has immense and unlimited desires for material enjoyment, and he has to transmigrate from one gross body to another until these desires are exhausted. No living entity is free from the cycle of birth and death unless he takes to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in this verse, it is clearly stated, Satvaika Nishtes, that when one is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, in one stroke he is free of past and future mental desires. Then, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, everything becomes simultaneously manifest within the mind. In this regard, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur cites the example of Madhya Soda, seeing the whole cosmic manifestation. Within the mouth of Lord Krishna, by the grace of Lord Krishna, Madhya Soda saw all the universes and planets within the mouth of Krishna. Similarly, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, a Krishna-conscious person can see all his dormant desires at one time and finish all his future transmigrations. This facility is especially given to the devotee to make his path clear for returning back home, back to Godhead. Why we see things not experienced in this life is explained herein. That which we can see in the future expression of a gross body, or is already stocked in our mental stockpile. Because a Krishna conscious person does not have to accept the future gross body, his recorded desires are fulfilled in a dream. We therefore sometimes find things in a dream never experienced in our present life. Om Gyan Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Kuroti Vachalam Pongum Tlang Gayate Girim Yakrapa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinam.
Shri Rup Shri Sanatan Bhattaraguna Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasaruna Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantitam Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Gaurave Namah Tavasmi Narikanatha Karmana Manasagira Krishna Kante Tavai Vasmi Yuvameni Vakatir Mama Govinda Vallabhe Radhe Parteye Tvamaham Sada Tvariyayati Janatu Govindo Mantayata Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunamritavahini Kripaya Nijapada Jadasyam Mahyam Pradiyatam Tavai Vasmi Najivami Tvaya Vina Iti Vijaya Devitvam Nayamam Charanantikam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Prabhasindhukevacha Adhijanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah
Sadvaika Nishta Manasi So Sadvaika Nishta Sattva means goodness, eka means one, and nishta means fixed. Bhagavati refers to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parshva Bhartani, to be connected with. So, the idea here is to connect the mind, manas, exclusively in Krishna. Ekanishta. We are endeavoring to nurture ekanishta bhakti. Sattva ekanishta manasi bhagavati. Krishna describes in the Gita, Vyavasayatmika Budhir, Ekeha Kuru Nangana. My devotees, their mind is fixed, or their intelligence, Eka, in one thing, that is me. Others, their Nishta, that is not Eka, but Bahushaka, many branched, very much divided. Flippant, dispersed. Even the devotees of other gods or devas, their nishta is not eka, because their nishta is not in fact towards that deity, but it is towards matter, towards material enjoyment. We pray to the deity as a means towards sense gratification. I pray to Ganapati. Why am I praying to him? Am I so devoted? Do I have so much praying in my heart that I'm... No, I want to remove some troubles. My faith is there in the removal of troubles. I pray to Bhavani or Gauri. Am I so devoted to Gauri that I... No, I want a good wife. My faith is in material sense enjoyment. And so I pray to this deity or another deity. But material sense enjoyment... Is that a single-pointed attention? No, that is also very much dispersed. The the wanderings of the mind, or the attachments and aversions of the mind, they're very transitory. I like this person today, but I don't like them. I didn't like them yesterday. Now I crave ice cream. You give me ice cream, and you keep giving it to me. I come to the point that I hate it, and I never want to see it again in my life. We get too little of something, we crave it. We get too much of it, we hate it. So the mind is not steady. The mind is chanchala. The mind is flickering. So, devotion to sense gratification, it is not steady. It is not ekat nishta. What we have faith in today, we abhor tomorrow. The Hong Kong Savings Bank, what is it? Hong Kong HKSB. What? HSBC. BC. Hong Kong Banking Corporation. They have, over the past, I don't know, 8 years, put together a brilliant advertising campaign showing the relative nature of the material world. It's targeted towards wealthy people with international concerns. So their slogan is the world's local bank. And they want to show how they have both, they can keep a dual perspective of a global perspective and a local perspective. And so their advertisements, they'll show a chili. Yeah, two pictures of a chili, and one title will say pleasure, the other will say pain. Right? Or a high-heeled shoe. Yeah? Same shoe in both images, but one caption will say pleasure, the other will say pain. What are other examples? Many, very, very clever, very, very clever imagery, combinations of images and text to bring our attention to this point that one person's food is another person's poison, and what constitutes that? How does that come to be? It's different perspectives, but it's different states of material conditioning. I'm conditioned to find chilies enjoyable as a Bengali, or someone else in the West is conditioned to find that distasteful. When I was about 10 or 9, some brahmacharis in Mayapur, they gave me a chili. They said, you eat this without showing any tears, we will give you 50 rupees. This was 1984 or something. 50 rupees was a lot. So I took up the challenge. And I didn't last more than 2 seconds. Took that, and they said, you have to take the chili, you can't just swallow it, you have to show us that you mash it in your teeth. So I took the chili, show them. Already my face was just profusely flooded with tears. So the mind is socially conditioned, and that conditioning is quite random. What today is considered as cool and fashionable, tomorrow we laugh at it. How they used to dress, look at this, funny hairstyles from the 1960s. Look at their bell-bottom pants, how silly they look. and they think it looks so cool. But today, what we consider to be cool and fashionable, 10 years from now, people, they will laugh. And in another culture, people laugh. We look at the African woman with all the bangles and, you know, bones and piercings and a long neck with bangles around. Looks strange to us, but in their culture, it's something very beautiful. Look at that beautiful girl with the long neck and all the bangles around, the very long, elongated earlobes. So pretty. From our perspective, it is not so. So who decides this? It is a random social, historical state of conditioning that causes us to develop these tastes of likes and dislikes, appreciations and aversions. Socially co-created in a given point in time. Therefore, we cannot depend on the mind for true knowledge. Therefore, we cannot depend on our senses and we cannot depend on our mind as a valid pramana, as valid evidence for truth. Because they are entirely random and created. In some cultures, they are celebrating Bin Laden. He's been killed. In America, in front of the White House, when they got the news, people were coming in from everywhere with flags and slogans and excitement and joy. And in other places, there is mourning, the loss of a great martyr, of a great hero who stood up for freedom. For freedom. We consider, on one side of culture, society is considered the enemy of freedom. And to others, he is a freedom fighter. So the mind is not dependable. What we consider to be our desires, I like it, I want it, it's my decision, so much of the time is socially imposed. What is considered worthy cause for compassion has changed through time. Historically, I was reading this a couple of days ago, an analysis of newspaper reports from the New York Times over about 100-year period. So Christmas and Thanksgiving in Western cultures are times of where you should show sympathy, show compassion, give to others. And so the New York Times has, through the years, over this extended period, written up articles at this time of worthy causes for people to express their compassion and their giving. And what was a worthy cause 100 years ago is quite different from what is considered as a worthy cause today. A worthy cause in bygone times, more related to physical hardship, not having resources or being afflicted with disease and not having the resources to address that. So they're quite physical in nature, the causes for sympathy. And as time progresses, they become more emotional. Someone is feeling stressed. Someone is has been has been neglected, separated from loved ones. So these are more emotional causes for sympathy. And what has changed? What has changed is social perception, social understanding. So, Acharyas, Shastra, they direct us, do not depend on the scattered mind to understand reality. Do not depend on the mind and the senses for your worldview. Rather, learn to see the world as Krishna sees it. Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a state that the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. What should be your worldview? Let it be Krishna's worldview. Rather than taking your worldview, which you think to be your own, from society, which elects a conservative government one term, a liberal government the next term, and gets frustrated, and then again a conservative government, means it's flippant, constantly. Let your worldview be steady. Let it be nishtha, and how so? By aligning it with Krishna's worldview. Tad e katma means to be one with. Become one with Krishna. In that sense, not that you merge with Krishna, lose your, but in that sense of I want to use the word sympathy, but I also have a concern, not that we're sympathizing that Krishna is somehow needy of something or made destitute, but sympathy in the sense that your consciousness is connected with Krishna's consciousness, and so you come to think and to see and observe everything in relation to Him. And in relation to His desires. It is said that Srila Sukadeva Goswami, while reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, was so Tadekatma, was so united with, was so connected and united with the bhavana, the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, particularly Rishimati Radharani, that he would not say her name directly. Then describing Krishna's Braj Leela, that in describing Krishna's Ras Leela, he referred to her as that special gopi, indirectly, because if he were to say her name, he would become so much absorbed in her mood of Vipralamba Bhavana, of separation from Krishna, that he would be unable to complete his recitation. It is said that the manjaris, the servant maids of Srimati Radharani, are so connected with her, are so united, are so one with her, that whatever joy she experiences, they experience it a million times more. Whatever sorrow she experiences, they experience a millionfold more. here's a Tulsi plant. We don't see any manjaris on this plant, it's not the season. But if you touch the branch of the Tulsi tree, that branch will waver, it will shake. But which part of the branch will shake the most?
The top branch.
The top, okay. Extend that thinking a little further.
The one we touch.
Huh?
The one we touch.
The part you touch? Not necessarily. Yeah, the branch that you touch will shake, but which part of that branch will shake the most?
The weakest
part. The weakest part? Okay.
Leaves.
The leaves? Okay. We're getting closer. The manjaris. The manjaris will shake most. Yeah? They will shake the most. So when Srimati Radharani feels separation from Krishna, that sadness, the manjaris, they feel it the most. Because they're connected to Sri Radha in such an intense way that her suffering is their suffering times a million. That her delight is their delight times a million. So, who serves Krishna the best? Who pleases Krishna the most? Srimati Radharani. Who experiences the greatest pain on separation from Krishna? Srimati Radharani. Who experiences the greatest delight in reunion? Sambhoga with Sri Krishna, Srimati Radharani. But then, although she experiences it the most because of her affection for Krishna, her servitors, they experience that even more. So, dasa, dasa, anudas. By aligning their mood with that of Srimati Radharani, they experience the emotions of prema, of loving Krishna, even more. It is not theirs, it is hers. It is theirs because of their alignment with her. It is said that even if Srimati Radharani gets a bruise, or some other something happens with her, that becomes manifest in the forms of the manjaris. The Vilakkush Manjali, it is a very exalted book, one that our acharyas have told us has its place on the altar, only to be opened by very advanced souls. The first verse of that text, Raghunath Das Goswami is speaking to Rupa and says, "Oh Rupa, Manjari, what has happened to your lip? It is, has it been bitten by a parrot? It is somewhat broken, yeah? So what is going on there?" Rupa's a young girl, Rupa Manjari. Her lip has not been bitten by a parrot. But Sri Radha's lip has been bitten by Krishna. And that is manifest in the form of Rupa. So this is the highest level of oneness. Yeah, devotee is also seeking oneness. Oneness in bhavana, in mood. This is the oneness that the devotee seeks. Even Christ, he said, the Father and I, we are one. Doesn't mean that we are the one, the same person, but one in mood. So, that is the highest oneness. Now, it is artificial for us, at our level of spiritual advancement, to even aspire to such things. But we should be seeking the oneness. that we can observe the cosmic manifestation as Krishna does. And how do we do that? By association. By association with Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's telling us what he thinks. Krishna's revealing tattva to us. Tattva means truth. Secret truth. Rahasya. He's revealing secret truth to his bhakta and his shaka, his devotee and his friend. Align yourself with Krishna as a devotee. Not as a worshipper who just wants some material fulfillment, as one worships any devata or god to fulfill some material need. That is not oneness. Align yourself with Krishna as a bhakta and as a shaka. And come to observe the world, not as society tells you to, through social conditioning. Come to observe the world as Krishna does, as he reveals himself in Bhagavad Gita. Come to see the world as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the process is association. Bhagavat Parshva Bhartani. Associate. Associate with Vaishnavas who explain Bhagavatam, who explain Gita. Engage in Hari Katha, Hari Kirtan, hearing, Shravan Kirtan, hearing and chanting. Satsanga, holy association. This is the most powerful process. Association with devotees of Krishna is in fact more powerful than association with Krishna himself. How so? Similarly, Shastra tells us association with devotees is more powerful than bathing in the Ganga. Bathing in the Ganga destroys sin. Association with sadhus destroys the sinful mentality. Association with Krishna may not be appreciated. You hear Harinam, you see Bhagavad Gita, but if you're very conditioned materially, you won't even appreciate it. But if you associate with a Vaishnava who says, this is Bhagavad Gita, it's the most wonderful book that there is. If no other book existed, someone said this to me, Dinamanda Prabhu said this to me when I was nine. Stayed with me very strongly. He held up the Bhagavad Gita sitting in a bus driving from Nagadvip, Mayapur, to Vrindavan. So how long was that journey? I don't know, but we were 5 days or something. We were sitting in the back of a bus and he held up the Bhagavad Gita, little pocket Bhagavad Gita, and he said, this is the most important book on the planet. He said, if every other book on this earth were to somehow disappear, were destroyed, and only this one book were left, there would be no loss. I would like to include Srimad Bhagavatam in that handshake in the church. But the point, it made a strong impression on me. Yeah. So the devotee, Dinabandhu said that to me. I came to appreciate the Bhagavad Gita ever more, even more. I had some appreciation when he said that. My appreciation was heightened. I may have read Bhagavad Gita and appreciate it or not, but when somebody like Dinabandhu says that, then I have appreciation, right? So many people, they took Bhagavad Gita, they read it, didn't understand it, but thought it was cute. Lofty poetry. But then when Prabhupada gave a purport and says, this is the essence of all knowledge, this is the king of education, then people understood it. Wow, this is really special. So the appreciation of the devotee allows us to appreciate Krishna. Therefore, the association with the devotee is more important than association with Krishna himself. Thousand years ago, Krishna was present on earth. People were unable to recognize, mostly, they were unable to recognize that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore could not get the benefit of his appearance. Definitely there was benefit, just seeing Krishna is beneficial. Those who died on the Kurukshetra battlefield, seeing Krishna, or seen by Krishna, they were benefited. But for the most part, people could not appreciate who is Krishna. But when the devotee says, here is Krishna, the Supreme Person, then we can appreciate. Therefore, association with the Vaishnava is more important than association with Krishna himself. You may meet some famous, important person. You don't know who they are. You talk, shake hands, exchange pleasantries. Then you walk off and your friend says to you, do you know who that was? What, really? Then you take it to them, you to pay attention. While you're with them, you don't know. You may not know. But when somebody tells you, this person, then you pay attention. And so it is with Krishna. So we want to develop, we want to see the world as Krishna does. We want to develop Krishna's perspective on things, because that is truth. Then we will see things as they are. And we'll be steady. Prabhupada was steady. Prabhupada was steady in his perception of things. He met with so many scientists, philosophers, religionists, poets, academics, but he was unswerved in his shraddha, in his faith. Because he had his faith, his view of the world was that of Krishna's. So even when presented with apparently contradictory evidence, like a moon landing, for example, Prabhupada was unswayed. Is the famous story, I'm just bringing that up because Prabhupada's mentioned it in his purport. Prabhupada's servant, Purushottam, he brought a television into Prabhupada's room during the moon landing. He was Prabhupada's servant. Prabhupada, look, they're landing on the moon. Prabhupada, it is not the moon, Prabhupada said. It is not the moon. According to the descriptions given in the Shastra, the moon is a heavenly planet. But what we are seeing here is sand, dust, rocks. The Prabhupada says, the two are not matching. So which account will we take? Do we take the newspaper as our Siddhanta? The contradictory newspaper which changes day by day in the different accounts? Or do we take Shastra? The Prabhupada had a newspaper, the Bodhisattva. They had a TV, they had a newspaper. What says which one? Shastra or newspaper? The Prabhupada says we will take Shastra, and he threw the newspaper over his shoulder very dramatically. Since then there have been so many conspiracy theories. I'm not a conspiracy theorist necessarily. I try to keep an open mind. So many conspiracy theories which say that the moon landing was a hoax, that it was the Nevada desert or some other arrangement, that due to the Van Halen's radiation belt, it's impossible for any human to have survived passing through that radiation belt that surrounds the Earth, the atmosphere of the Earth. You go into radiotherapy, chemotherapy, what happens? Your hair falls out, and it's very intense. The radiation is focused on this one small area of the organ that might have cancer. But then to pass through a massive space of radiation over an extended duration of time, the human being cannot survive that. That's another theory. Prabhupada suggesting here, maybe they did go somewhere, they were sincere. Not as a hoax, they did go somewhere. It was Rahu, Prabhupada suggesting as a possibility in this commentary. Another is that maybe they did go to what we perceive to be the moon with our conditioned senses, limited conditioned senses, but there is another plane of reality that is imperceptible to our gross senses. What we can see with our color spectrum, the bandwidth of our color spectrum is limited. There are fluorescent and other colors on two sides of the bandwidth that we can see that are not perceptible to the human eye. Infrared, one example. You take some special goggles, then you have infrared vision. But there are other frequencies that are not perceivable to the human eye. Similarly, there are sounds, frequencies that are not perceptible to the human ear. They can be measured with instruments. We know that they're there with our instruments, but with the ear they cannot be heard. The dogs can hear the high frequencies that the humans cannot hear. The birds can see colors that the human eye cannot see. There's a lot more going on around us, there's a lot more data around us than is perceivable to our senses, which are tuned to a certain spectrum of the environment. Your radio tunes to a certain frequency. Oh, we can hear this station. The human senses are tuned to certain frequencies, and we can pick up that spectrum of data. That's our reality. But there's a lot more reality out there that is not perceivable or available to us. What is important is given in Shastra. So turn to that. It is not perceivable to your eyes and ears and other senses. It is beyond the scope of your mental reasoning. But you can tune into it by Krishna's grace. Not even the academic study of the subject will attune you to that information. But it is the sincere endeavor to engage in devotional service, to associate with Vaishnavas, to associate with the Shastra, that the Lord will reveal it within your heart. What is the verse in the Gita where Krishna says, shining with the lamp of knowledge, I enter their heart and remove the darkness of ignorance? Okay. Krishna says that he enters the heart with a lamp. Yeah. He enters the heart with a lamp and removes all these ignorance. So just reading books, that will not make Krishna come into your heart with a lamp. Even sacred books. Because so many academics, they read sacred books and say, I think this, that, or the other. This idea comes from the this particular historical period, and it has been assimilated into the Gita as a synthesis of Vedic thought, Brahmanic thought, Upanishadic thought. No, that doesn't help. Krishna will not enter your heart with the lamp of knowledge that way. But through bhakti. Bhakti atvananyaya shakya ahame vividurjuna yatum drashtum chata vena praveshtum cha parantapa. I can be understood, I can be approached only by bhakti, only by devotion. Any other process will not be successful. Even yoga. The mechanical process of yoga, controlling the senses, controlling the mind with yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara. What is its purpose? Krishna said, yoginam mahi sarvesham madgatenantaratmana shradhavan bhajate yo mam same yuktatamuntha. Of all the yogis, the one who is surrendered to me is best, sarvesham, of all of them. Madhyatenantara, those who are situated in me. And how do they do that? By associating. Shradhavan, by cultivating faith. Bhajate, by worship. Same yukta tamoma, they become connected. Yukta, yoga, they're the same thing. Of all the yogis, the one who is yukta is the best. So that alignment, that seeing the world as Krishna sees it, we also called it Shastra Chakshush. The eyes have a limited spectrum, bandwidth of color, light that it is able to see. But with Shastra Chakshush, you can see so much more. With the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chakshush. With the eyes of Shastra, you can see Trikala, you can see three phases of time, past, present, future. With the Shastra Chakshush, you can see Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, you can see three planetary systems, lower planets, middle, upper, and beyond. You can see beyond the material creation. You can see Vaikuntha, Goloka, even in this world at this time. We are seeing when we read Srimad Bhagavatam. Shastra Chakshus, through the eyes of Shastra, you can see lives, past, present, future. You can surmise, and we had a verse last week. By seeing a person in this life, you can surmise previous lives. All of this is possible with Shastra Chakshus. Because in Shastra Chakshus, we are aligning our worldview to see the cosmic manifestation as Krishna does. So a very important thing here is in taking this Shastra Chakshus, not to lose one's rational reasoning faculty as well. It does not mean that I am taking only Shabda Praman as valid, as my authority, that I will discredit or find no value in Pratyaksha or Anuman, in what I can see and what I can reason. These things are also valid Pramans, accepted by Vedvyas, accepted by our Acharyas, but always in subordination. They are in subordination to Shabda. That makes sense? So not that we become mindless or that we stop to think, we stop to reason. We must reason, we must think, we must observe the world around us and see how to apply Shastra, the teachings of Shastra, in the world around us. Related to what we can perceive, related to what we can experience, related to different modes of thinking. But the authority is Shastra. Okay, so any comments or questions? Yes, Dorothy Peru?
And the associating with devotees is there different types of associating, because like we have to be doing something favorable in our association. Like, if we're not associating the right way, it could be detrimental to our advancing in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah. So the question is about association, and association with Vaishnavas, and how to associate in the right way. Two things are coming to my mind immediately. The first thing is to the most important consideration is avoid offenses. So no matter which devotee you're associating with, avoid hati mata aparad, or the mad elephant offense of offending Vaishnavas, no matter who they are, whether they are more advanced, whether they are lesser advanced, whether they are peers. Don't offend Vaishnavas. Appreciate that they're connecting with Krishna, somehow or other. At whatever their level, they're connecting with Krishna, and so appreciate and respect that. And then the next thought is that Rupa Goswami does explain different types of Vaishnavas, different levels of Vaishnavas, and how we should associate with them. Krishneti yasya manas, Krishneti yasya manasam, Krishneti yasya. Giritam manasadriyeta dikshasticet pranatibhischa bhajantanisham shrusho shaya bhajana vigyamana vyamanya nindari sunyam viramichita sangalavya. That with junior devotees, that is, those who have accepted Krishna, even in the mind. So we also respect them in the mind. Maybe we don't come so close to them necessarily, if we're not so advanced that we can give them some support and help to uplift them, but rather we are concerned that the influence may be the other way around, then the association may be at a distance. The appreciation may be at a distance, but still it is respectful. And if we're in the position, then we may We may give direction, encouragement, support. If we are in the position, means that they also acknowledge that. Not that, oh, I'm in the position, I'm more advanced, do this, do that, and the other thing, and they feel imposed upon and very uncomfortable with our association. Chanakya says, only instruct your own children or your disciples. And so if they're not placing themselves in a position where they are wanting direction and advice, then it is probably less helpful if we decide ourselves that we are going to impose it upon them. Then with our peers, then Rupa Goswami instructs, and he says, those who have taken initiation, dikshasti chet pranatibis chabajantami sham, you serve with them. You serve with them. You make friendship with them. In a previous verse, he explains the different types of association in that way. What is the verse? Tadati pratigrihnati guhyam makyati prachati bhunte bhojayate jeva sadvidin priti lakshan. Six types of love. Giving and receiving gifts. Exchanging realizations or what's going on in the mind. Inviting, offering prasad. Accepting such offerings and invitations. And then finally, with the most advanced devotees, those who are more advanced than us, Rupa says, faithfully serve and hear from them. And he also gives us a symptom of who such advanced devotees are. He says they are free of the tendency to criticize others. Nindahi sunyam hridam, it is free from the heart. Hridam ipsita sangalagya, they have been. They have washed away, they have cleared away that tendency to fault find and criticize others. Those devotees you faithfully serve and hear from, he says. Okay, we're over time, so I guess we'll conclude there. Thank you all very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samavita Pavani Ki Jai Shri Gaur.
Yeah.